from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The San Francisco Museum of Modern Art this week unveiled the design for a major expansion project, which would include free ground-level galleries, as well as new pedestrian pathways and education spaces. And we examined the details of the $480 million project in this Forum segment. Joining us in studio is Neil Ben-Ezra, director of San Francisco MoMA. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Also glad to have Craig Dykers, who is principal architect for Snoheta. They're the firm which designed the expansion. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you both here. And Neil, let me begin with you. Everything's been reviewed. The environmental impact report's gone through. This is a go.
It is a go. It's a win-win. The city's been very embracing of the concept, and we're working very well with the fire department. As you may know, we're building a new fire station for the city of San Francisco, and it's pretty exciting.
Well, we're also doubling the museum size. I mean, this is a major project.
It's a major project. We have currently about 55,000 square feet of galleries, and when this is all said and done, we'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 130,000.
So you're adding to the galleries. Let's find out. We get these public spaces and providing essentially a new home for the Fisher exhibition. What else?
Well, our collection's been growing by leaps and bounds. You know, we've gone from 12,000 objects in 1995 when we moved to 3rd Street to about 28,000 today. Our visitation has gone up in the old War Memorial Building from about 250,000 visitors to about 650,000. We now have 40,000 members. We had 12,000 before we moved. So it's been quite a success story.
Just keep growing and growing.
Indeed.
Let's talk about the design, Craig Dykers. I guess it was announced conceptually back in May of 2011 and unveiled with details including ground-level galleries and orientation spaces that will be free to the public. A lot of this is really trying to literally bring the public in, is it not?
Yes, that's correct. It's a challenge to create a museum because at one level it's about trying to find a place for introspection and meaningful connections to art and to the world of knowledge. But on the other hand, it needs to be a place that allows people to naturally progress from their everyday lives to the rather challenging world of connecting to art.
But you have pedestrian pathways that actually lead to and through, as I understand it, the museum, so it kind of connects the neighborhood.
Correct. There will be more than one entryway into the new museum, and that will make it possible for people to feed into the building from different locations around that portion of the city, especially important because of the new construction of the Transbay Terminal that will be finalized during this near term. And we're seeing more and more development along the smaller streets that lead toward the museum, so there's a lot more family-owned businesses that are starting to develop there, so people can leave these smaller streets and enter the museum as opposed to the singular entry that's found on 3rd Street, which is a large six-lane street that you have today.
I wonder what you as principal architect say to, I'm looking at an article in the New York Times, an imposing museum turns warm and fuzzy. This is Robin Poe Grieben in the New York Times, who says, the project presents a post-recession template in which function and use of a space almost take precedence over aesthetics, and then goes on to say, it's as if to say the museum is as much a place to gather as it is a place to view art.
Well, it's a kind of perhaps somewhat arbitrary discussion to say that aesthetics are devoid of function or that function is devoid of aesthetics. Functional things can be as aesthetic as any kind of sculptural thing. So we're trying to draw those ideas together. One can find beauty and meaning in places that they have memorable experiences in without necessarily focusing on a sculptural object in and of itself.
You can actually look at a slideshow of images of the new San Francisco MoMA expansion design by visiting our website, kqed.org/forum, and certainly would welcome your thoughts about what you see, aesthetically or otherwise. I mean, there is a connection to the city in this design, Neil. You got a couple of outdoor terraces, you got a lot of glass, and a new sculpture garden. This is, again, really connecting public with the museum itself.
We're really trying to redefine what a contemporary art museum can be in a community. Clearly, our first and our highest priority is to create great spaces for art, have great collections, great exhibitions, great programs. But we also want to make sure that that art is seen and shared and understood and experienced in the most positive way we can with the community. That's a very high priority for not just for the museum, but for our architects as well.
And you're in the public phase now. What does that mean?
We're in the process of raising the funds in the capital campaign, which is going very, very well. That will obviously go on for quite some time.
To 480 million? That's the figure I keep
seeing. Well, 480, and it's probably a little bit north of that now. We're probably in the mid fives. But our progress has been great on the capital campaign. We've had a tremendous amount of support from our board and the community.
You're a couple years ahead of expansion.
We are well on our way.
And all these city-friendly enhancements, these were added onto the original design, correct?
Well, yes. In a way, we developed the building together with the client groups and the user groups within the building, and also talking to those people that live in the nearby neighborhoods. So as we very quickly came to realize, in a very tight urban context, such as the one we find the SF MoMA in today, it's important that the new building be generous to its surroundings, that it provide places for people to move freely around and through the building. And that will, in a way, build a sense of ownership and connection to. And we say community, but that's a kind of loaded word. It actually means a huge group of people. There are so many different communities in San Francisco. It's a diverse city, and so we need to be able to understand what those different groups are.
The conception, as I understand it, also is really to encourage not only more of a public place and more connection to the neighborhoods and all that, but you've got more spaces literally dedicated to education.
Yes, we do. And we have a particular philosophy about education. We'll have an education center, as we currently do at the museum. But we want education to happen everywhere in the museum. We want it to be centralized in a location, in an education center. But we want education to take place outside the galleries, in public spaces, where people get coffee, they're looking at books, they're watching videos. We want to engage our visitors in a three-dimensional way.
Even the word education is being redefined now. The typical student-teacher relationship is being challenged in many kinds of institutions. Libraries, for example, are having to redefine the word education, and that's true in this museum too.
Well, let me engage our listeners in this. Again, you can view a slideshow of the images of the new SF MoMA expansion design by visiting our website, kqed.org/forum, and certainly like your thoughts, not only in terms of what you see, but also any questions or comments you might have, we'll bring forward here, and you can call us toll-free right now at 866-733-6786 if you have some thoughts that you'd like to register. Again, the toll-free number, 866-733-6786 for your questions or comments. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment. And, of course, you can also put your questions and comments on our Facebook page. And SF MoMA is holding community presentation tonight at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, Novellas Theater, to introduce the new design. There may be a limited number of tickets available at the door. You can, again, visit our website for more information, kqed.org/forum, and go to that same website to view a slideshow of the museum design. We're talking with Neil Ben-Ezra, who's here with us in studio, who's the director of SF MoMA, and Craig Diker, who's principal architect for Snoheta, the firm which designed the expansion. Also looking at, you're getting the reviews in here, Los Angeles Times says, culture monster. I'm not sure why that headlines it, but it says the schematic design makes clear that Snoheta is striving, though without a whole lot of success, to chip away at the bulk of the new wing, which will cover 235,000 square feet of space and rise directly behind or east of Bada's 1995 building. Snoheta has added windows and narrow terraces of the light-colored concrete addition, which was largely an opaque behemoth in early renderings. The architects also have designed a scored horizontal pattern for the wide eastern facade, hoping to break down its muscular scale at least to a degree. Culture monster?
Well,
that's the blog, yeah.
That's the blog.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a very interesting discussion there. In many ways, we have to look at what it takes to make a contemporary museum successful. Cultural institutions really must struggle, even when they're successful. They have to work against surroundings that are often commercially based, that have much greater budgets to work with or larger financial operations to work through. In terms of their structures that they build in the city. So you find large skyscrapers, large, very large buildings near SF MoMA, and they have to compete against that. So people need to understand that this is a museum, that it's not a commercial building, and part of that has to do with the scale of the institution.
Well, what about the demolition, though, of the three-story granite Maria Obato design staircase?
Well, the future of the museum it will certainly create more visitation, so the visitor numbers projected are quite high. The existing staircase that is in the atrium today, designed by Mario Botta, is quite beautiful, but it's very narrow, and it simply does not have the capacity to accommodate the larger numbers of people that will soon be expected. It also creates a visual barrier to the expansion that has to connect to the Botta building. So we're trying to create a holistic environment, and reforming and redesigning the stair is a part of that exercise.
Were there any challenges at all in the environmental impact report, Neil? Everything went through, I believe, smoothly.
I attended at the and testified at the Planning Commission meeting, and it was, I can only characterize it as a love fest. The commissioners were extraordinarily enthusiastic, and I think this marriage of our museum's expansion and the provision for greater security and safety through the new firehouse was really well
received. Yeah,
extremely well received.
Especially in these dwindling resource times, some names that have certainly come forward in terms of support for this project, and one largely is Charles Schwab.
Chuck has been our chair for several years now. He has been an indefatigable leader of our board in supporting this project. He's been extraordinary.
Looking again at this culture monster, and we have to mention again, this is a blog, but he's, the author here goes on to say, "My initial response is that the updated design remains far more promising in terms of urbanism than architecture." And our representative from Stoneheada, Craig Dykers.
Well, you know, there's another aspect here that's at play that I also think is a very interesting discussion, and that is the rise of the sort of mega malls of art museums that we're seeing around the world. And there's a fear, especially here at SF MoMA, that the new museum could translate into a sort of larger warehouse for art, because today it's a very intimate place that people enjoy. And we've recognized that from the very beginning, and that issue has been a part of our process of how we've worked. So instead of really looking at the building in terms of what it seems to be like from a helicopter 300,000 meters in the sky, one should really think about the intimate spaces that are being created that will be, in a way, the true experience of the museum. And we've built the design up through a number of smaller spaces that connect indoors and outdoor spaces in a very authentic manner. And that really will be the experience of the building, not so much what it looks like from the air.
You've also got galleries of different scales, right?
Yes, there are a number of different gallery types, and that's another important issue in the building, that it will be large enough that people will go back more than one time. They'll return on often to see parts of the museum they hadn't seen on their last visit. So there needs to be a variation of experiences, and that's an important quality that people will recognize.
A couple of comments from our web page and our Facebook page. Here's a web comment. "It would be nice to see a more expansive collection of art. The collection there is very good, but we could always use more content. So show more Picasso, bring in more exhibits, educate us about art." Another web comment, "I would be happy were it merely a plain box. All I care about is having access to the Fisher Collection ad infinitum, pronto. Build it and get it done ahead of schedule, please." But here's a little more of a critical comment on the web. "The proposed exterior of the SF MoMA extension strikes me as a real me as a colossal dud. What in the world are they thinking? This is not flattering in itself to the existing museum or the buildings behind it. Is this building a foregone conclusion?"
Well, we built the Alexandria Library. We began that in 1989. That was our first significant project. And then after that, we built the Oslo Opera. I can recall the sort of rise of this type of commentary in architectural criticism during the last 15 years. And our library in Alexandria was called a giant frisbee because it was circular. Now it's well-loved. The citizens of Alexandria formed a human chain around the building to protect it during the uprisings in Egypt. So if it was a giant frisbee, I guess they loved it. The opera in Oslo was deemed to be a kind of race boat looking from the side, and various kinds of online attributes to it. And now it's thousands of, I think 3.5 million people have climbed the roof of the opera since it opened. So, you know, it's part of the life of buildings.
The struggles of being an innovative architect.
Yeah, we kind of like it. I mean, it's great that everybody has their associations, and they should continue with that.
Well, if you'd like to see it again, you can actually view the slideshow of the images of the new SF MoMA expansion design by going to our website, kqed.org/forum. And you can post your comments there as well as on our Facebook page. And join us by phone, 866-733-6786. Here's a web comment. I am pleasantly surprised at how well thought out the design is relative to the urban environment. It seems that modern architecture tends to ignore its role in the greater context of the neighborhood or city, such as the new San Francisco Federal Building by Morphosis, thank you, or Greater Columbus Convention Center, which purposely turn their backs on their neighborhoods in order to make some sort of vague statement and as a result kill the neighborhood. Let's go to a caller in Menlo Park. David, hi, you're on.
Oh, hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a comment about the approach to the Tabota stairway. As you might well imagine, I'm very attached to that and find it a terrific piece of civic architecture and a real icon for the museum as it stands. I'm worried that perhaps the severity of the architecture and the straightforwardness of the plan is sort of overlooking a way to leave that icon in place and to flow through it and around it to maintain access up to that second-level lobby they're trying to create. I get it. I don't mind the whole building, but, boy, that stair raises my hackles.
Well, Craig, you want to respond?
Well, it's been a part of our discussions from the beginning, as you can imagine. This was not a decision that we took lightly or easily, and we've looked at every possibility. And one of the things we're also trying to do is protect the Botta Auditorium that is immediately behind the staircase. So other types of stairs would have meant the dismantling of the auditorium. And that's also, I believe, Mario Botta's perhaps only intact auditorium in the United States. So that was also an important issue to protect. But essentially, what we're doing is creating a complementary stair that allows the oculus above the stair to be completed and retain much of its purity that it has today.
Was there any reaction from Botta on this?
Craig and I met with Mario Botta this past summer and discussed in a general way our plans, which were still evolving at that time. They're still evolving to this day. And he was, you know, Mario is a wonderfully gracious man. And this building is now 16 years old, and he understands that the buildings change as functions require. And he understands that the museum has grown. And he essentially said to us, you know, I've done my work in San Francisco. It's your museum now. And what a gracious thing to say. It couldn't have been a better conversation.
Well, his hackles weren't up. That's nice to hear.
No.
Talk, if you could, Neil, about this new sculpture garden.
Well, one of the things that's very important to us is we've had a great success with the rooftop garden that we opened, I guess, 3 years ago now. And it really changed the psychology of the museum to have that space in a big brick building, to have that space where you can go out, look at sculpture, meet friends, have a cup of coffee, and just sit and be at the museum. And it suggested to us that we needed more such spaces, indoors as well as outdoors. It will be a big building. We don't pretend otherwise. And we want to give our visitors an opportunity to look at art, but also to sit and look at the city, have a cup of coffee, and to have those outdoor terraces will really make that possible.
Again, Neil Ben-Ezra is the director of the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. Craig Dykers is principal architect for Snoheta. And Craig, how did the landscape of San Francisco influence the design of the building?
Well, San Francisco is a city that really lives up to its reputation. Many places sort of market themselves in one way, and you arrive, and they just don't seem to be what you expect. But San Francisco fulfills its expectations and more. The topography of the city is beautiful. The climate, which changes radically even throughout the day, is just a stunning experience for those that have not spent a great deal of time here. I know San Franciscans enjoy complaining about the weather, but we always seem to enjoy it when we're here. So we wanted to embrace the change that one finds in the city. When you drive up and down the hills of San Francisco, it's as if you enter and re-enter the city several times during the day, because each new experience as you come up over the top of a crest of a hill is unique. And so we felt that that could be a part of the inspiration and the quality of this new museum.
How much was the public involved in this whole process, Neil?
Well, the public will be involved increasingly as we go forward. I mean, the design is very much the process of the museum working with the architects. We've done a lot of research with the public in terms of what they like, what they don't like in the building,
focus groups and that sort of thing.
Yeah. We study our visitors constantly and elicit their opinion. So they have had input.
You're going to have to close the museum, and if so, how long?
There will be a construction period, probably beginning in the middle of 2013, summer of 2013. It'll take a couple of years to build. The way we're approaching this is rather than trying to open another space somewhere and have it be a lesser SF MoMA for that construction period, We're thinking about an SF MoMA without walls concept. If the lights go out on 3rd Street for a period of time, we're going to shine lights in other places in the city. We're going to partner with other museums and organizations. We're going to commission artists to do pieces out in the city, education programs, online activity. We want this to be the beginning of a new understanding of what SF MoMA is and can be. It's an SF MoMA that's out in the community, more generous, more open, more embracing. And this is a great opportunity for us to begin that.
Also heartening to hear that kind of vision coming from you. As you know, I come originally from Cleveland, and the greatest thing about Cleveland is the Art Museum, and they just closed down for years.
Yes, they did.
Not going to happen
here. No, very frustrating.
Yeah, it was.
So we're you know, obviously it's not something we're you know, eager to have happen, but we think of it as in terms of what possibilities, what opportunities it gives us. And we see a lot of great opportunities.
We'll talk a little bit more about what are those opportunities.
Well, we've had conversations with any number of exhibiting organizations, museums, and otherwise in our neighborhood and around the city. We have a staff team that's working on creating this program, a board committee that's working on it with us, advising us. We're going to commission work that artists will make out in the city. Our education programs.
So, be more local artists for SF MoMA?
Possibly. We're still in the process of developing this now. It'll be probably 6 months before we have a full, you know, fully formed program.
And talk about, well, if you would, Craig Dykers, how much you can actually toe the line in terms of the plans of bringing this to fruition. And the present notion of when it's – what are you talking about, 2013?
Oh, I see. You're asking if how much under control everything is.
that's the subtext of the question. Yes, thank you.
Yes,
well, I love when people interpret my questions for the subtext. Yeah.
Well, we've been working very carefully with a huge team of consultants. We have a great team of specialists. We're working together with a local architectural firm here known as EHDD. They're quite well-respected in the community as well as nationally. They're helping us develop the project in a clear line of sight. We have cost consultants that we're working regularly with, construction team, WebCore, who's making a number of projects here in the city, including Transbay Terminal. So they're all contributing to this effort. If this was just the architect making all the decisions, I think things would be out of control. But it's not just the architect. It's the architect and a larger team, and that's what makes it a really organic but well-managed process.
Here's Cherry from San Francisco. It says, hard to think of how you'd blend in with the neighborhood. Moscone Center, the W Hotel, Yerba Buena Center. Mm. There is no unity to design there. I think the new museum will be largely invisible. The view shown today in the Chronicle is from east looking west. The only people seeing that view will be in the large high rise on 2nd Street.
You know, I think it's important to say that when the museum moved to 3rd Street in 1995, we set a tone for that community. The community essentially grew up around us. It's now full of restaurants and hotels and activity. We led the charge there, and I think that we helped to define the architectural character of the neighborhood. And I think with what the design that Craig and his colleagues are going to provide us, it'll set the bar even higher for the development of that community architecturally and culturally.
And it's a very astute comment. But if you spend more time in that vicinity, just nearby the museum, you'll find that there are some very small and interesting streets, Minna and Natoma nearby, which are more like lanes. And those are not visible from the Moscone Center. But our building opens up to the core of the block so that people have access to the smaller streets and to the more delicate texture that actually exists deep within the super blocks of the area south of Market.
Another question from Wes related. What about first from John in San Francisco. Says, it looks as though a lot of the lower floor windows of the W Hotel's western side are blocked by the new building that weren't blocked by the fire station. How did you get the W to agree to the structure?
Well, they're not necessarily blocked. They're simply looking at a different view. They're looking at a museum rather than the tops of the fire station and the mechanical equipment. So I suppose that's one way of looking at it. But one can also say that there's a great deal of benefit being provided to the region, including the hotel.
So everybody was willing. And
well, one of the things that we have done from the beginning, and Craig has been very generous with his time in doing this, is we've met with every neighbor on multiple occasions and let them know what the plan is, bring them into the design process, let them understand what we're planning to do. And the support overall from the neighborhood has been extraordinary.
Listener named Wes says, what about green design? The city requires LEED design strategies. How are you meeting or exceeding those requirements?
We are looking to design this towards the LEED standards, which are, as you may know, one of the higher levels is gold. There's also platinum. Below that are silver and bronze. I've always been curious of those titles that LEED, which is a sustainability issue, is tied to materials that are strip mined. But in any sense, we are looking to exceed LEED gold. That's gold plus some points. So that means we will be shooting for a very high level of sustainability within the building.
And again, I remind listeners, you can view a slideshow of the new SF MoMA expansion design by simply going to our website, kqed.org/forum. And let's go to another caller. Leo, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. My comment is that I am concerned that with all the attention being focused on the exterior of the expansion, that as a former employee, we used to always have to fight for resources and salaries for the staff inside. Is there being some funding being added for the people who work there? I can take my comments off the air.
All right, Leo, thank you for the question.
One of the important aspects of this project is that the museum will be growing physically, but it will also be growing in terms of staff. We're going to be adding, you know, many new staff members at various levels of the museum.
Isn't that great in these recession times to hear?
It's extraordinary and a great opportunity, and we very much look forward to it.
Also, we're consolidating the staff into one location. Today, they're spread about in really substandard conditions in some cases, so we're bringing all of them together in one place, and they'll all have access to fresh air and daylight.
How much bigger will the staff be, Neil?
Don't have exact numbers. I would guess we would grow by perhaps as many as 100 staff members.
And you have how many now?
Oh, it depends on how you count them. Probably, let's just say as a round number, 250.
And you are projecting what in terms of attendance and membership?
Well, we've looked hard at this, and our membership over the last 10 years averages about 625,000 visitors. We've studied what has happened with other museums where you tend to open and you have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, great visitation, and then it levels off at a certain kind of level. So we're probably hoping we'll hit a million people a year, million visitors a year.
Which is terrific.
Which would be extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think most of the public realizes. I mean, as many of the public in the Bay Area go to this museum and go to the other museums, just how the attendance of museums ranks with even sports events and things of that sort.
Well, in our case, we are second only to our friends on West 53rd Street in New York, the Museum of Modern Art, in terms of museums of contemporary art in the country. We're second only to MoMA in attendance and membership. So we do a good job, and we look forward to doing better.
Well, congratulations on this. It's really very exciting, and I think I can speak for so many of our listeners in saying looking forward to it, and thank you both for being here with us. I want to remind you about the event this evening. I'm looking hastily for it. SF MoMA holding a community presentation tonight at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. Novellas Theater introduced a new design. There may be a limited number of tickets available at the door. To visit our website for more information, kqed.org/forum. Let's thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell, and our interns, Adam Sasonic, Dominique Tan, Don Clyde, Molly Williams, who work for SF MoMA, Jameson Katsifis, and Preeti Shakir. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our executive producer, Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.